Welcome to the show. Whether you have some knowledge of law or maybe just from TV and movies, you're likely aware that the government needs a warrant to seize your property. As an example, if the government claims you owe unpaid taxes, government agents can't just break down your door and take your possessions. If they want to get at what you own, they have to take you to civil court, win the case, get a judgment against you, and then obtain a court order to take your property. Only then can they seize your property. It should be noted that it's essentially the same process you'd have to engage in if someone didn't pay you what was owed in a business agreement. You can't just break into their business and take their property because they didn't pay you. You have to file a civil case, win the case, get a judgment, and then obtain a court order allowing you to take the person's property. In other words, whether it's a guy who shorted you in a business deal or someone who failed to stay up to date on taxes, it's essentially the same process. In light of that, how come an IRS employee can pull a form out of his desk drawer, fill it out, mail it to your bank, and the bank will take your property and give it to the IRS? There are probably no more than maybe several hundred people in the country who understand the scam the government and the banks are running on the American people in regard to bank account levies. Stay with me, and you're going to be floored by what's taking place behind the curtain. You're also going to learn how easy it is to stop the IRS dead in its tracks.
The Dr. Reality Podcast with Dave Champion.
Let's start with this. I'm the author of Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the best-selling book in America that lays out the truth with mountains of incontrovertible evidence that Congress has never imposed the income tax on ordinary, hardworking Americans like you. I think you would agree that very few Americans know that truth. The average American lives in ignorance of tax law and keeps paying because he is too lazy to read a book, such as Income Tax Shattering the Myths, and act on what the law actually says. Thinking is hard, so Americans just keep doing what the government tells them. I should probably mention that I haven't filed an income tax return or paid a penny of income tax in 32 years. I'm the author of the best-selling book in the country on the subject. I speak nationally on it, and I put out prolific content on the subject, such as this. Not only that, but in 2012, DOJ's tax division admitted it possessed several copies of my book. Yet, here I sit, unmolested 32 years after filing my last return. Perhaps I know something you should know. We'll get to that in a minute. Some folks don't stay current on the income tax. They're too lazy to know they don't owe. In other words, they wrongly believe they owe it, but then they don't pay it. In some cases, after years of the IRS sending collection letters to a presumptive taxpayer, the IRS acts administratively to levy the taxpayer's bank account. Before I get into the nitty-gritty of the bank levy issue, I want to let you know that Americans who know the truth about the income tax and how to correctly communicate that to the IRS never have money seized from their bank accounts. For those who know what to say and how to say it, the IRS never contacts them again. If you need help with that, you can reach out to me at dave@drreality.news. There are three ways of addressing the income tax. Number one, unnecessarily surrender your property to them every year because you choose to remain ignorant. Number two, remain ignorant, but don't pay, in which case you'll likely experience what we're talking about today, which is having money taken from your bank account. And number three, learn the truth, keep your property, and live without fear of the IRS. Number three sounds like the way to go to me, and that is exactly what I've been doing for 32 years. But back to the issue of the bank taking money out of your account and giving it to the IRS. There are a number of inaccurate explanations out there on the subject because people who've never read a word of law attempt to explain how their property can be taken by a bank and given to the IRS simply because someone at the IRS says so. I'm not going to waste your time discussing that nonsense. We'll get straight into what is really happening. I'm recording this presentation 11 months after Donald Trump was sworn in as president for the second time. I think it's fair to say that most Americans have heard the words due process more in the last 11 months than in the entire rest of their lives. The context of the Trump era discussion about due process has generally been about whether it applies to aliens. Well, a lot of people are out there on social media screaming that aliens don't have the right to due process. That's not legally factual. The federal courts, all the way up to and including the Supreme Court, have held that aliens do have a right to due process. However, for aliens, it's a minimalistic or scaled-down version. It is not the full-throated due process to which American citizens have a constitutionally enshrined right. The reality that aliens get a truncated version of due process begs two questions. First, what does the scaled-down version of due process look like? And second, why are we discussing the limited form of due process that applies to aliens when the subject at hand is banks taking your money and giving it to the IRS? To understand the connection between the truncated due process extended to aliens and how that applies to your bank account, we need to discuss the IRS Form W-9. I'll begin by discussing the W-9 in a general sense and then explain how it affects a bank account. What is the meaning of Form W-9 in law? By that, I mean, what are you declaring about yourself under penalty of perjury when you sign a W-9? The public has no idea about the legal implications of signing any tax form. Americans sign all sorts of tax forms simply because someone told them to. Perhaps this is a good time to recall this quote from Thomas Jefferson. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. We can modify Jefferson's quote a bit to make it applicable to today's conversation. If Americans expect to be ignorant and free of the income tax, they expect what never was and never will be. So don't be ignorant. So, what does a Form W-9 mean in tax law? It means this. The person signing a W-9 is attesting, under penalty of perjury, that the money he is receiving does not belong to him, but belongs to the non-resident alien or foreign corporation for whom he is acting as the U.S. agent. Now, some of you who own your own businesses and have signed a lot of W-9s over the years may be saying, that's nonsense. I've been signing W-9s forever. No one ever said that's what the form means. I get it. More than three decades ago, when I owned several businesses in California, and I had never read a word of tax law, I also signed W-9s without bothering to consider what they meant or the consequences of signing them. But here's the thing. The fact that no one told you that's what a W-9 means in law doesn't change the fact that is precisely what it means. About a year ago, I did a whiteboard presentation on the W-9 that many people found particularly informative. I'll put the link to that down in the notes. Now that you know what the W-9 means in law, let's examine how it impacts your bank account. Every single financial institution in America demands a W-9 as a condition of opening an account. In other words, every financial institution in America demands that you commit perjury by swearing that you're acting as the domestic agent for a foreign person with U.S. source income. That practice needs to be challenged in court in a class action suit. Perhaps that's a subject for another presentation. So, what exactly does it mean when you open an account with a Form W-9? Are you ready? The government's perspective on any financial account opened with a W-9 is that the account holder is stating, under penalty of perjury, that the purpose of the account is to receive U.S. source income belonging to the foreign person for whom the account holder is acting as the domestic agent. In other words, although your name is on the account, the government's position is that the funds in the account do not belong to you. They belong to the foreign person for whom you're acting as the domestic agent. Now that we know the government deems the funds in your account to belong to a foreign person, let's return to the truncated due process for aliens. When property belongs to an American citizen, the Fourth Amendment generally prohibits seizure without prior judicial review by a judge in the judicial branch. At the federal level, that's known as an Article III judge. An opportunity for judicial review prior to seizure of a citizen's property is a requirement under the Constitution's due process provision. But that's not true for aliens. In most circumstances, due process for aliens is limited to administrative due process. Administrative due process is due process before an agency, not a court of the judicial branch. The courts in which aliens appear are not real courts. They are administrative tribunals that are, in legal reality, part of the agency. They are merely called courts, and the judges who sit on the bench of those tribunals are not employees of the judicial branch. Such courts are known in law as Article I courts because they're created by congressional legislation, whereas judicial branch courts are established by Article III of the Constitution. When it comes to aliens, most determinations made by an agency tribunal, improperly called a court, are not reviewable by a real court. That means, in most cases, the agency operating in the form of a pseudo-court has the final say. I hope that makes clear the distinction between the type of due process you and I enjoy versus the truncated version of due process provided to aliens. Before I continue, if you enjoy this kind of knowledge that you'll never get from any source other than this channel, please take a moment to subscribe and hit the like button so the algorithms show this content to more people. Thank you. At this point, of necessity, we need to take a quick detour to touch upon tax returns. Just like the W-9 we discussed earlier, Americans never bother to ask what signing a tax return means. They know it means they certify under penalty of perjury that the numbers are factual, but they are completely unaware that signing a return also certifies their status. Status is a pivotal word in tax law. Everything keys off of one's status. I don't want to get bogged down with the underlying law that's relevant to each of the tax returns I'm going to mention. So if you want to see all the legal evidence of what I'm about to share, you'll find it in Income Tax Shattering the Myths. As a side note, I'm currently running a special on Income Tax Shattering the Myths. I'll give you the details about that towards the end. According to the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Form 1040 is only to be used by a non-resident alien with U.S. source income or the non-resident alien's domestic agent. According to the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Form 1120 is only to be filed by a foreign corporation with U.S. source income. According to the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Form 1065 is only to be filed by a foreign partnership with U.S. source income. For simplicity, we'll use the 1040 to illustrate how your status is baked into tax returns. The IRS states that all tax forms that are required to be signed under penalty of perjury must be signed in an unqualified manner. What that means is the signer is agreeing under penalty of perjury with everything on the form, everything in the instructions, as well as all relevant information in the statutes, the regs, and Treasury decisions, none of which the signer has ever read. Because the 1040 is, according to the Secretary of the Treasury and his Treasury decisions, to be used only by a non-resident alien with U.S. source income or by the alien's U.S. agent, when you sign a 1040, you are declaring under penalty of perjury that you are a non-resident alien with U.S. source income or an agent for the alien. Having certified to the IRS that you are a non-resident alien or an agent thereof, if you don't pay your income tax, the IRS begins the process of attempting to collect the unpaid amount. That process includes extending you due process. However, since you certified under penalty of perjury that you're an alien or are the agent of an alien, you are only entitled to the truncated due process for aliens. Making things worse is that you're completely oblivious to the fact that the IRS's claim against you is based on you swearing that you're a non-resident alien with U.S. source income, or you're acting as the agent for the non-resident alien. Because the IRS is coming after an American who has never read a word of tax law, he has no idea that the IRS is pursuing him as a non-resident alien or the domestic agent thereof. In his ignorance, he repeatedly fails to make the correct responses to the IRS. After a couple of years of incorrect responses to the IRS decides to go after the guy's bank account. That brings us back around to the actions of financial institutions. In law, there are only three types of customers who are required to provide a taxpayer identification number when opening an account. Those three are a non-resident alien receiving U.S. source income, a foreign corporation receiving U.S. source income, a U.S. person opening an account for the purpose of receiving the U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person for whom the U.S. person is the domestic agent. All three of those persons are taxpayers. If you're not one of these three, then, insofar as income tax is concerned, you are not a taxpayer. Because those are the only three persons required by law to provide a taxpayer identification number, the legal presumption by the government concerning every account opened with a taxpayer identification number is the property in those accounts is U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person. Let me give you an illustrative example of how the government sees accounts opened with a taxpayer identification number. If the IRS has an assessment against the taxpayer with the taxpayer identification number of 1234567 89, and the taxpayer identification number associated with the bank account 1234567 89, then the government's perspective is that they can seize the non-resident alien's money from the account after having extended the non-resident alien only the truncated agency administrative due process. I should add that when addressing tax matters administratively with the IRS, the burden of proof rests with the alien or his agent, not the government. But get this, if you know what to say to the IRS, the burden of proof to prove you are a taxpayer shifts to the government. But I digress. Allow me to share with you some real-world evidence proving that banks completely misuse the Form W-9. What I'm about to show you is a screenshot of a response sent by a major national bank to an account holder who wrote a letter to the institution. In the letter, the account holder clarified that despite being required to sign a W-9 as a condition of opening the account, he is not the domestic agent of a foreign person, nor any of the money going into the account the property of a foreign person. For privacy reasons, I'm going to refer to the bank as State Bank and change the account number to the last four to 1234. I'm also blocking out the marketing name of the type of account because that could identify the bank. Because I know the type will be small on the screen, I'll read aloud what the bank said. The bank wrote this. State Bank recognizes that you are not acting as a domestic agent for any foreign persons. We also recognize that no funds deposited in the State Bank checking account ending in 1234 will be United States source income belonging to a foreign person. United States Treasury regulations require us to determine the tax residency of all customers and payees who could receive income that is reportable to the Internal Revenue Service. We use Form W-9 to document U.S. tax residency and obtain a taxpayer identification number from the primary owner of each account. Form W-9 is used to ensure the customer's taxpayer identification number is correct when a state bank deposit account application is submitted and the account is opened. I want to draw your attention to two particular sentences in the letter. The first is this, quote, United States Treasury regulations require us to determine the tax residency of all customers and payees who could receive income that is reportable to the Internal Revenue Service. Fair enough, but according to Treasury Decisions 8734 and 8881, reportable income is only U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person, whether paid directly to the foreign person or to the foreign person's domestic agent. In other words, if a bank pays interest to an account holder who is an American citizen with no connection to a foreign person, the interest payment is not subject to income tax reporting, and therefore no taxpayer identification number is required. Yet the bank never asks the status of the person opening an account. The bank acts like it has to file information returns on everyone, which is absolutely not what the law says. The second sentence to which I draw your attention is this, quote, we use Form W-9 to document U.S. tax residency and obtaining taxpayer identification number from the primary owner of each account. So here's the thing. How the bank said it is using the W-9 is not in compliance with the legal purpose of the form. There is one, and only one, legal purpose for the W-9. That purpose is to obtain a taxpayer identification number from a U.S. person who is acting as the domestic agent of a foreign person. In fact, signing a W-9 is declaring under penalty of perjury that the signer is acting as the domestic agent of a foreign person. Additionally, the account holder's letter to the bank said this, quote, "The legal meaning and purpose of Form W-9 is that the signer is attesting that the income he/she is receiving does not belong to him/her, but belongs to a foreign person for whom the signer is acting as the domestic agent. See Treasury Decisions 8734 and 8881. I hope you noted that while the bank said it used the W-9 for a different purpose than the form has in law, at no time did the bank claim that the account holder's characterization of the legal purpose of the W-9 was inaccurate. My reading of the bank's response is that it simply wants the account holder to look the other way concerning the bank's unlawful use of the W-9 because the bank's written response admits it's using the form in an illegal manner. Phrased another way, the bank is saying that because it's using the form in an illegal manner, it is not going to hold the account holder to the legal meaning of the form. But there's a problem with that. Signing the W-9 under penalty of perjury has the implications and consequences that the Secretary of the Treasury says it has in his Treasury decisions. The bank's admission that it's using the form for an unlawful, unapproved purpose cannot and does not change the legal meaning and purpose of the form, nor does it change how the IRS views the form. No matter what the bank says, the IRS still sees the signer as having declared, under penalty of perjury, to be receiving U.S. source income belonging to the foreign person for whom the signer is acting as the domestic agent. So, why doesn't the bank simply create its own private form asking the account holder to provide his or her taxpayer identification number under penalty of perjury? Because the bank has no authority in law to do that. All taxation is imposed by the government. Any actions by private sector entities regarding taxation must be based on the law. Only the government can mandate via law that this person or that person must sign a tax form. That's why all tax forms are government forms. While we're discussing that only the government can mandate that a person sign a tax form, let's revisit the short list of who is required to sign income tax forms. That short list is this: non-resident aliens receiving U.S. source income, foreign corporations receiving U.S. source income, and U.S. persons receiving U.S. source income belonging to a foreign person for whom the U.S. person is the domestic agent. Since you're not any of those, where would the bank get the legal authority to demand a taxpayer identification from you? It doesn't have that authority, clearly, which is why it unlawfully and fraudulently forces people opening accounts to use a government form W-9. This process may seem as if the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, but that's not the case. The people at the top of the income tax system and the senior lawyers for the banks know exactly what they're doing, yet account holders can't resolve the problem because the millions of people who work at the lower levels of the financial institutions don't know any of what we've discussed today. Because of that, when an account holder brings these problems to the attention of a customer service rep, they provide nonsense responses, as you saw today in the bank's letter. Furthermore, if someone in a bank's customer service department were to learn the truth we've been discussing today, and open accounts without W-9s, or upon request of the account holder, remove the taxpayer identification number from the accounts belonging to ordinary Americans, he or she would be promptly fired. And to be clear, that person would be fired for following the law, while the faceless people upstairs who ordered the firings are knowingly violating the law. So what happens when an American gets a notice that his bank account is going to be levied and he knows something about his constitutional rights, but nothing about tax law? Understanding that seizure of property without judicial review is unconstitutional, he files an emergency petition with a federal court seeking to have the court enjoin the IRS from the seizure of his property for lack of constitutionally required pre-seizure judicial review. The government files a request for summary judgment, submitting to the court documents showing that the plaintiff opened the account using a taxpayer identification number. The judge knows the only time a taxpayer identification number is required is when a person is engaged in taxable activity. Ergo, if the account was opened with a taxpayer identification number, then the account holder already confirmed the purpose of the account is income taxable activity, and thus, after having received only administrative due process, the property can be levied. The reality is, if a person is having his account levied, he screwed up every step of the way on the road to the levy, which is a years-long process. But given his complete ignorance about Form W-9 and what providing a taxpayer identification number means in law, how could he not have screwed up? The good news is it's easy to stop the IRS dead in its tracks. But you have to know what the law says and communicate it to the IRS, or state tax agency, in a way they are legally required to hear you. In other words, there are two elements involved in stopping the IRS. One is understanding the law. The other is knowing how to communicate the law and the facts to the IRS or a state tax agency in a manner that legally requires them to act upon it. How does one gain the correct understanding of income tax law? Well, that's simple. Read Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Every one of the tens of thousands of Americans who've read Income Tax Shattering the Myths, when they have turned that final page, knows with absolute certainty that the tax does not apply to them. What about communicating the facts and law to the IRS or state tax agency in the manner that legally requires them to act on it? Well, that's where I come in. If you've got a problem and want it to evaporate, drop me a line at dave@drreality.news. This is a great time to get a copy of Income Tax Shattering This because I'm running my big annual Christmas special. When you use the coupon code XMAS25 at checkout, I'll inscribe and autograph your copy of Income Tax Shattering the Myths, and you get free shipping. But that's not all. If your order also contains body science, I'll inscribe and autograph both books for you. I'm going to suggest you purchase the 4-pack containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths, the Business Guide to Payroll Withholding, the Business Handbook for Form W-9 1099 and U.S. Person, and Body Science. The first reason to get the 4-pack is the price is deeply discounted from purchasing all 4 items individually. The second reason is that in addition to it being deeply discounted, when you use the code XMAS25, you'll also get free shipping, and I'll inscribe and autograph your books. A quick word about Body Science, which is my groundbreaking book on human physiology. Body Science destroys the establishment narrative about what makes you unhealthy and shows you how to get astoundingly healthy. Body Science gives you the science of getting and staying healthy, presented in a way everyone can understand. If you're sincere about getting and staying healthy and you want that for the people you care about, you need to read Body Science. I practice what I preach. I adhere to everything you'll discover in Body Science. I'm 66 years old and I'm as healthy as I was at 26. I am in perfect health. No chronic diseases, no big pharma products, and I haven't been sick a day in almost a decade. Whether it's learning the truth of the income tax or sales tax or a host of other constitutional issues or finally discovering the truth about human physiology and with that knowledge being able to get and stay incredibly healthy at any age, not only are these great books for you, but they also make wonderful Christmas gifts. So go directly to drreality.news and pick up Income Tax Shattering the Myths, Body Science, or the 4-pack. Remember to use the coupon code XMAS25 to have me personally inscribe and autograph your books and get free shipping on any order containing Income Tax Shattering the Myths. Also, purchasing any of my writings helps me to continue to be here for you with these revealing and thought-provoking presentations. If you found today's content intriguing and compelling, please help spread the word by sharing this video far and wide. Thank you for sharing your time with me today. I hope you consider it time well spent.